Okay, so now we're going to talk about building with JavaScript task runners. Now, task runners are kind of funny things. Yeah, they have funny names. We have things like gulp, grunt, broccoli. I don't know what it is about JavaScript frameworks, but they all seem to have these ridiculous names. And gulp is definitely one of them, and that's what we're going to spend most of the time talking about today. A task runner is basically a JavaScript library that's there to automate the build processes associated with building web applications. So we're going to cover a few things. Firstly, we're going to look at what is a task runner, just in general, what's conceptually what a task runner is. We're going to look at gulp and grunt in some detail. Those are the two mainstream ones that people tend to use. We're going to look at a gulp concept, some of the key things that you need to know if you're going to work with gulp. And then we look at building with gulp inside ASP.NET Core. So that's what we're going to go through today. So firstly, why do task runners exist? Well, they're all about automating the build processes associated with web applications. So if you've got some TypeScript, for example, that needs to be compiled to JavaScript, a task runner will do that for you. If you need to minify a CSS file, a task runner will do that for you. If you need to move files around within your project structure, so maybe move them to the wwwroot folder, task runners again do that for you. Image compression, unit testing, concatenation files. There's a whole load of things associated with the build and workflow of your project, and that's where task runners come into play. And they basically automate those processes for you. That's why they exist, and that's why we're looking at them today. So there's three main big boys, really. There's gulp, which is the drink icon. Gulp is probably the one we're going to spend most of the time looking at, and is the one that's associated with ASP.NET as well, or indeed ASP.NET uses gulp as its default. Gulp is relatively new. You've got grunt, which is the kind of boar icon. That's probably the original mainstream task runner. So grunt was the first one to kind of get mainstream popularity around this idea of using JavaScript to run tasks in the build process. And then we've got broccoli as well, which is really new and probably is only suitable for cool kids that are under the age of 30, which I'm not one of. So that's why we're going to focus on gulp. Now, in terms of comparing which one's best, there isn't really a best. It's about what's suitable for your application. But certainly, there are. If we look at gulp against grunt across some of the main things. So in terms of heritage, grunt was really the first one to get widespread adoption. And gulp is newer than grunt. It tries to improve on some of the areas where grunt was weak. And it's gaining adoption itself as well. They're both supported in ASP.NET. Gulp is the default, though. I think gulp has a much simpler learning curve. It's easier to get started. I think some of that is because the file that you develop is just a JavaScript file. There's no special formatting or anything like that, no special language. It is just pure JavaScript, whereas grunt has this kind of JSON-like config file, which can sometimes be a little bit extra to learn. Gulp is generally considered to be faster because it pipes between memory streams, whereas grunt uses disks, files on disks. And they both have a good range of plugins. So plugins are the things that the tasks that the task runners run. So on its own, a task runner won't do anything. With the plugins, that's where all of the actual work comes into play. So grunt certainly has a very wide range of plugins. This is a count last time I looked, but it's probably more than this now, 5,000 plugins. Gulp has a good range as well, just under 2,000 plugins. Gulp also has a load of built-in capabilities as well. So there isn't really a best, but right now I think Gulp is probably the more mainstream one, or certainly the most widespread, becoming the most widespread one. So the other thing is, well, ASP.NET Core defaults to Gulp at the moment. I mean, you can plug in Grunt, you can plug in other providers, but if you just do file new project, you're going to get a gulp file, and that's what we're going to look at today. So in terms of some key concepts around gulp, key things that you need to be aware of when you're using gulp. Firstly, it has this idea of dependencies. So gulp itself is an NPM package. NPM is Node Package Manager. It's something that the web dev community at large has used for several years now, and ASP.NET absolutely uses NPM as one of its core things. So NPM is used to download and install JavaScript-based frameworks, and gulp is one of those. So you can download and install the NPM package, and it has all of the plugins are also implemented as NPM packages. So you download and install those, and we'll look at how you do that in a second. And then you set them up as dependencies within your gulp file. So the thing you build here is a JavaScript file called gulpfile.js. And you set those up as dependencies that you can easily refer to. So here we've got gulp as just gulp, and we've got the gulp CSS min plugin as just min. And the next key concept is around tasks. So the way gulp works is it executes a series of tasks. Now these tasks can be very simple. This one here simply says hello world. All the tasks can join up the various plugins to do something a little bit more intelligent. But the whole concept is that it executes a series of tasks. You have this other key concept of piping. So this is a task to minify some CSS. And what's happening here is the first line, gulp.src, is taking all of the CSS files that are in the CSS folder. And then we've got this pipe keyword. And this is really important because what this does is it takes the output of the previous line, which would be a list of files, and it sends that as an input to the next function. So it's taking the output of the CSS files, it's making those the input to the min function, which is going to minify them using the min plugin. And then we've got another pipe statement, which is taking the output of the minification process, which is a load of minified files, and then we're piping those to gulp.dest, which means put them on a different destination. So by using piping, we're effectively joining three different things here. One, we're getting a list of files on disk. Two, we're minifying them. And three, we're putting them somewhere else on disk or within the project structure. And that's generally how these tasks work. They have these piped kind of inputs and outputs. And that's kind of a key thing to the way gulp works. And this whole task is referenceable as min_css_task. The next concept we have inside gulp is this idea of watches. So without a watch, the gulp task only runs when it's executed. So you either type in gulp on the command line or you bind it to one of your build events in Visual Studio. It doesn't happen all the time. It has to be executed. So the idea of a watch is that it actually looks at a file on disk, and when a file changes or a file within a folder changes, it will instantly execute another task or an array of tasks. So what this one is doing is this is watching the CSS folder, and whenever any file changes, the second that you click save there, it's going to execute the min CSS. So it minifies the files straight away. You don't need to wait for build. You don't need to wait to run the project. It will just happen the instant you click save. This is really useful because in the idea of CSS, it means that your HTML files can target the minified versions of the files, and you know those are always going to be up to date. As soon as you make a change in the main version, the minified version will get minified straight away. So watches are really important for that kind of dev workflow. The final idea we have here is this idea of a default task. So this is what gets executed if you simply run gulp on its own in the console within the context of your project. Now a default task generally will run an array of other tasks. So what's going to happen here when I run gulp is it's going to run hello world, it's going to run the min CSS task, and it's going to set up the watch task as well. So it's going to do three things just when I type in gulp. So generally speaking, what you would do is you would bind your default task to the build event in Visual Studio. So whenever you build, all of these things happen. So in terms of bindings, one of the things that you get kind of in Visual Studio to help things is this idea of binding. So you can see here we've got a list of tasks on the left-hand side. Default, clean, min, various others, and we can bind those to build events in Visual Studio. So before build, after build, and clean, and project open. I generally use after build, so whenever I do a build in Visual Studio, I bind my default event, which means that it's always up to date with the C# components of the project as well. That's something you get in Visual Studio over and above the default gulp settings. So let's take a look here at building with ASP.NET Core. We'll just set up a basic gulp file to see how that works. So I'm going to start in Visual Studio. I'm going to go file new project. So I'm using the RC2 versions of .NET here. Now in RC2, you get various project templates here. I'm going to use ASP.NET Core Web Application .NET Core. And I'm just going to call this gulp. I'm going to say create a directory here. So this is the template, and this is the version that's cross-platform. So this is the version that will run on Linux, Windows, and OS X using the .NET Core framework. Okay, next thing I'm going to do is choose which template I want. So I'm going to start with empty here. If you start with web application, you will get a gulp file by default, a very well-written gulp file by default, and a load of kind of default plugins. But I want to show how to build this stuff up from scratch, so I'm just going to choose empty for this scenario. Okay, so this is my default empty project. Now, this is really quite empty. There's not a lot in here by default. And one of the things that isn't in here that we need is npm. So in order to use Gulp, we have to use npm. So the way we add that is we need to go to right-click on the project. And we do add new item. And you can just search for npm in the search box there. And it's going to give you an npm configuration file. Now, by default, this is called package.json. I would suggest that you leave that as the default name, just because when other developers look at your code, they'll know what package.json means. You can rename it if you want to, but stick with the default is what I tend to find is the best thing to do. So this, under dev dependencies, we'll have a list of packages that are associated with this project. So in order to add Gulp, I simply type in Gulp, and you can see that as I'm typing, the IntelliSense is going going off to the npm API and getting me a list of dependencies and versions. So if I just choose 3.9.1, which is the most recent version, this little arrow here just means or newer. So I've got that in there. When I click save, straight away, you might see over on the right-hand side, the dependencies are restoring. So what's happening there is the fact that I've clicked save means it's going off to npm and it's going to download the Gulp package for me and associate it with this project. So we just give that a few seconds to work. If we expand this out, we can see npm is restoring. So it's installing npm itself. And we can see that, there we go, that's now done. So we've got Gulp. And we've also got all of the dependencies that Gulp has, which is quite a few. So one of the things about npm, just like any package manager, is that it manages all of the dependencies for you. You don't need to worry about installing all the things that Gulp needs to work. It will do that for you. And there's quite a lot of dependencies in the case of Gulp. So Gulp is now installed on my project. In order to use Gulp, I need to add a file called the Gulp file. So I just go to File New Project, File New Item, sorry. And again, I can just type in Gulp and search for it. Oops, I'll do that again just because that was quite quick. Go to Add New Item, type in Gulp. And there we go, it's got a Gulp configuration file. And again, by default, this is going to be gulpfile.js. I would suggest you keep that as the same name. You can change it if you want to, but convention's always good for this kind of thing. So this is the gulpfile.js. Now, this is just a standard JavaScript file. There's nothing special about this. I can write standard JavaScript in here. So to prove this, I'm just going to take the default task. I'm just going to copy some code that I've got here saying hello world. And what this means is that whenever I run in Gulp in the console, it's going to run hello world for me. So we have a basic Gulp file up and running there, and this is now working. I can open my project folder in Explorer. I can type in cmd to open this in the command prompt, and I can just simply type in Gulp. So I can now look at the Task Explorer binding. So if I right click on the Gulp file, I go to Task Runner Explorer. This is going to give me this interface down in the bottom corner here. And what this means, I can bind that default task to events in the project. So right click default, go to bindings. So I'm going to do after build. So a couple of things have happened there. So firstly, you can probably notice that I have this binding now up at the top of my file. So it looks like a comment, but that's what Visual Studio uses in order to actually store the binding information in the file itself. And you can see also in the bottom, I can see that the default task is under the after build. So I just save that now. I'm going to do a build. As soon as the project's built, it's going to then run that default task. There we go. We can see that's now run. And in the console at the bottom here, I can see it's gone hello world. So I know that Gulp is up and running now, it's working. My default task is running after the project's been built, which is great, that's what I want. So let's add something a little bit more useful here. I'm going to add a new folder called CSS. And I'm going to add a style sheet in here, just a standard style sheet. I can go to new item again. Again, I can just search for style sheet. There it is, style sheet. And I'm just going to add some very simple CSS to this document here. So nothing simple, just setting a few default styles. And now what I'm going to do here is I'm going to basically work through the process of treating this CSS file, minifying it and doing a few other things with it. So the first thing I want to do is minification. And for that, there's a Gulp plugin called CSS Min. So I'm going to go to package.json, and then CSS Min, just like Gulp itself and all the other plugins, is an NPM package. So I'm going to add a new line in here and just say Gulp and hyphen CSS Min. And there it is for me. And it's going to, I'm just going to pick the latest version again, 0.1.7 in this case. Once again, when I click save, it's going to do the dependency restoration. It's going to use NPM to download and install that package for me and get it set up in my project ready to use. Okay, so if we look at dependencies, we can see NPM, we've got Gulp, and we've now got CSS Min as well. And just like with Gulp, it has all of its own dependencies installed as well. So that's great. Let's now put that to use by going back to my Gulp file. I need to set up a dependency for this. So I'm going to call this one just CSS Min, require Gulp hyphen CSS Min. And I'm going to add a new task here. So what this task is going to do is basically start working with that minification file. So I'm going to call this CSS Min underscore task. I'm going to pass a function to it. And inside this function, the first thing I'm going to do is enumerate that CSS folder. So I'm going to go to gulp.src, and the folder is called css/star.css. So I'm going to try and get hold of every file that has a CSS extension in that folder. And then I'm going to pipe the output of that into my CSS min task. So that's going to actually minify all of the files in that folder. And I'm going to pipe the output of that into gulp.dest, which means put it onto a destination folder. And I'm going to put this in wwwroot/css. And it's going to, I need to just put that in as a string. It's going to actually create that for me. So whilst I have got wwwroot available at the moment, there isn't any folders or content in there. It's going to create all of that for me. So that's my CSS task up and running. I'm now just going to replace my default task to actually execute that when it's run. So now when we run Gulp, instead of doing hello world, it's going to go through this process of minifying the files and putting them in wwwroot. So let's just do a build just to see how that happens. Nope, there's just an error. I just need to pass the brackets in there for my CSS function. There we go, that's now worked successfully. So if we now look into wwwroot, we can see there is a CSS folder, there is now a style sheet in here. If we open that up, it is indeed minified. So if we look at the original, it has lots of spacing in there, and look at the minified, and it's not just been minified in terms of space, you can see that some styles have been combined there. So the H2 and H1 have been combined, whereas on the original one, there were two separate things. So it's done a good job there of minifying that file for me. Next thing I want to do is add another plugin called Auto Prefixer. So if we take a look at our style sheet here, you'll see that I'm using something called hyphens. Now, hyphens is not a fully ratified CSS standard yet. If we go to a website called Can I Use? This is a great website for checking CSS support. I'm going to just type in, well, CSS and JavaScript, in fact. I'm going to just type in hyphens. And CSS hyphenation, there it is. So you can see this has mixed support. So in IE, it's supported with the MS prefix. In Edge, it also requires the MS prefix. It's fully supported in Firefox. It's not supported in Chrome, interestingly. Safari requires the WebKit prefix, and iOS Firefox also requires WebKit. So we've got mixed support here. In some cases, just hyphens will work on its own for Firefox specifically. In some cases, we require a vendor prefix, so we require MS for IE and Edge, and we require WebKit for Safari. In other cases, it's just not supported, in the case of Chrome and Opera Mini. So in order to manage this, I could just write in all of the prefixes myself in my CSS, but I'm going to actually use a Gulp task to manage this for me. Now, the one I'm going to use is called Auto Prefixer. Once again, I add this as a dependency, so I'm going to go into Gulp hyphen auto prefix. You'll notice a convention here that things tend to start with gulp hyphen. and install the latest version of that and let that download and install. Now, what AutoPrefixer does is it takes a look at your style sheet and it will check whether any vendor prefixes are required. And if they are, it inserts them for you automatically. If you've got vendor prefixes which are not required, it will remove those automatically. So it basically manages vendor prefixes for you in your CSS. The idea being you can write standard CSS and AutoPrefixer will insert the prefixes where necessary and remove them where necessary. So that's great. Whilst that's installed, I'm just going to go over to my gulp file. I'm going to add in the dependency again, just like we did with the other ones. And the only thing I need to do is I just need to insert one line of code. After I enumerate the files on disk, I'm going to add in this line of code here, which says pipe to auto prefixer. So the first thing it's going to do before it minifies the files, it's going to run them through auto prefixer and insert any vendor prefixes that are necessary. So I'm going to click save here. Now, just to reiterate, my p tag is just using hyphens. There's no vendor prefixes anywhere in this. If I do a build, that's now worked. If we go to the minified version, go over to the p tag, you'll hopefully see there that all of the relevant vendor prefixes have been added for me. So I've got WebKit, I've got Mars, MS, and then I've also just got hyphens on its own as well. As the hyphen standard gets implemented, these will get removed and auto prefixer basically looks after that for you. So that's great. So the final thing I want to add here is I want to add a watch because I don't want to have to keep building my project in order to get these CSS things updated. So I've got a very simple task here that I'm going to just add in called CSS watch. What this does is it says gulp.watch. It looks at all the CSS files and then it runs them into the CSS min task, which then does the piping and the auto prefixer and everything else. The only thing I need to do to make that work is I just need to add that to the default task. So the default task is actually an array of tasks. So it's going to, whenever I run gulp now, it's going to run the CSS min task, but it's also going to set up the CSS watch. So let's just do a build to kick that off. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go into my style sheet and I'm going to change the body to have a color of red. And I'm going to click save that. And as soon as I save that, you might have noticed that the CSS task executed straight away. So if I go to my minified version here, in fact, I'll just close that and reopen it to make sure I've got the latest one. We can see that indeed that attribute has been added straight away. So that's a quick summary of gulp in ASP.NET and how you get that built up. So we've covered a few things there. Firstly, we've looked at what is a task runner, what the job of what a task runner does. It's around automating build processes in your web application. We've looked at gulp and grunt and some of the advantages and disadvantages of each one. We've gone through some really key concepts with gulp, so the idea of a task, the idea of piping, the fact that they're NPM packages and you have to install the plugins as NPM packages, the watch, the idea of watching so that things get applied as soon as the file gets changed. And then we've actually built a gulp file up from scratch using Visual Studio. If you want to see a really good example of a gulp file, just choose the web application project and you'll see one that's been pre-built with all of the right dependencies in there. And that's in reality the one that you probably use in most cases. So thank you for listening. I'm Martin Kern. You can tweet me, you can email me, you can go to my website and get all of the resources and code samples for this demo. And then over to the next one. Thank you.